You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift.
Wow, stickers!
A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
Hello, this is Bradley Martin, and I'm here today to talk about the epic journey into the heart of darkness of one of the most devastating and unheard of crime organizations that has ever plagued the planet. Chefs. I mean, you've heard of the cartel. They couldn't hold a candle to bakers.
Oh, God. All right, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
I know what you're all thinking. Yeah, like, let's tune out. This isn't making any sense. But it will make sense when I tell you who the lead of this film is. Nicolas Cage stars in a film called Pig, about a man living out in the woods away from the hustle and bustle of the capitalist bourgeoisie. Does that make sense? Until one day, his pig he lives with is abducted, pibducted, swine-napped. So him and his one of his clients, if you will, set off on a journey throughout the city and into the underbelly of saucier carnage to get his pig back. I'm not going to be talking about this alone, though. You know, every chef needs a sous chef. With us today, I have someone who may not always pick the right restaurant, but is always correct on his dinner purchase. We got Wright with us.
Hello, everybody.
I have a sugar master, practically the protege of Wolfgang Puck. Tessa is with us.
What's up? That must be some pig.
Also, they call him the Butcher of Baker Street, probably, somewhere, in some circles. Bo is with us today.
Only the people on Baker Street can call me that, you fuck. Yeah, so if you're confused, folks, just like us, you just got the Nick Cage fucked out of you. That's what this movie is going to do to you by at least the second act. Maybe not the first. Maybe not the third. Definitely in the second. What the hell?
So we have just going to get a little bit more elaborate into the plot. Nicolas Cage plays Rob. He has a pig. He does his morning routine. I believe they're truffle hunting, living out in the woods. He meets with his supplier, rising star Alex Wolff, as Amir.
Yeah.
And he certainly can pick him. I feel like he's one of the few young stars who reads batshit crazy, and instead of his thinking about, no, I got an image here, I can't do that, he dives right the fuck in and gives it his all.
And he's really like the like of the people in this cast, he is not only a newbie, but a newbie by several generations, because everybody else is like people like, you know, Alan Arkin, and even the small parts, like we've got the guy who played the chef in the second act is like character actor from way back. the woman that he talks to go find the tweakers who stole his pig initially, she was like Jim Rockford's hot girlfriend in the Rockford Files like 40 years ago. Yeah, it's like there's some pretty amazing people in here, but yeah, and Amir is like, I'm gonna go in and try to hold my own, and sometimes he does.
So Amir is actually connected to the catalyst of this whole plot, maybe. His father is also a famous chef who owns several restaurants. We're talking about a Michelin man, if you will.
Au contraire. Both him and his father, they're not chefs. They are chefs. They are chef suppliers. So
rare ingredients.
That's why he's dealing with Nick Cage in the first place, because he's your go-to, like... He is making the mushroom equivalent of blue crystal meth that we had Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I thought at the beginning of this, I was like, is this gonna be John Wick except with a pig, like with Nick Cage? Like, I'm on board.
it felt like David Gordon Green remaking Mandy, but replaced Mandy with a pig, and I was like, oh, okay, let's rock and roll here, and it's not that.
No, it doesn't get that fantastical.
It does not let you know that it's not that until well through the movie. Especially, like, the second act is one of the weirdest second acts ever. Generally, if a movie falls apart, it falls apart in the third act. This one kind of falls apart in the second act because you're just like, what the fuck is going on here? Because it posits so many batshit crazy things that you're like, one of these, like, weird-ass fucking incidents is going to lead me into what this movie is actually fucking about. And you just get noped, noped, noped all throughout that second act until the third act, which is finally like, yeah, that first act is where we kind of establish things. And no, John Wick is not going to appear. Spoiler alert, nobody's going to get only one person is going to get the shit beaten out of him, and it's the protagonist, and then that's pretty much it.
And that's kind of a given who it is. There is one thing where I do think the Nicolas Cage John Wick comparison is good, except he's not here to shoot people in the face. He's here to hurt your feelings.
Oh my God. And he does. He totally emotionally decimates this one guy in this like highfalutin, like high concept restaurant, and just like takes that guy to his knees.
And that guy, so he is a character actor. He's been in a lot. Well, he was in a lot of stuff in the 80s, especially. But
David Nell.
David Nell.
If you remember, do you remember Splash, when Gene Levy is the antagonist scientist and he hires these two incompetent boobs to help him, aka the idiot twins? He was one of the idiot twins. He's great. I love him. and yeah, this is like the first time he's shown up in a while. And he does a pretty good job of like basically letting Nick Cage like go really deep and just emotionally decimate him.
Yeah, he's just sitting there just smiling like as he's doing it.
He's had to put up this front for so much of his life, and Nicolas Cage was his mentor. He's equally like decimating him and also like and mentoring him, and like just like, no, you should, yeah, motivating him. Yeah, I loved that scene so much. I have to say, I think this is my favorite movie of the year. I have to tell you guys that. I fucking loved this movie.
Okay, first of all, go outside. Second, maybe see Black Widow tonight. I don't know. But yes.
I already did.
I do agree that movie or that scene is a really great scene. And in fact, this movie is peppered with a lot of really great scenes and a fairly decent concept. And boy, loaded to the gills with acting talent. But the director, he's done some TV. He's done a little.
This is really good for their first feature. Like, this is really good.
Yes, if he was making this with like unknowns, I think a lot of people would go like, "Wow, what's this guy doing?" But because he's kind of punching outside of his weight class with the talent that is involved, the stitches really show on this. And it, and for me anyway, it never really pulls apart and or pulls together as a piece of clothing. Now the little bolts of whole cloth that are that he uses to ostensibly put together are great. But
what is the outfit that they're sewing? I want to continue this metaphor, Bo. What is the outfit that this movie is?
And that's it. You're
we're
just
stitching
like,
a football, right?
Is it a hoodie? Is it a jacket? Pants? Maybe it's pants. I don't know if it's pants. Maybe a kind of jumpsuit. No, because there's definitely a hood. I don't know. There's some kind of garment involved here. But yeah, at the end, I'm like, I maybe ruined a lot of cloth.
I would highly disagree. I think this fantastic first feature. I think that the direction, the way that it was shot, and also just with the direction with Nicolas Cage, I think is one of those best performances in a very long time. Like, I loved Mandy for what it is. I don't think it was really showcasing Nicolas Cage's, you know, acting talent, because he is also a fantastic actor. Like, I really do love Nicolas Cage. You know, I think back of like Leaving Las Vegas, Adaptation, even like in Matchstick Men, which is kind of unhinged, but he's still like acting the hell out of it.
When I was like kind of in my 20s, Nick Cage was the go-to like art house dude. I mean, Raising Arizona, Vampire's Kiss, Red Rock West. There, he was just like, holy Christ, this guy. And then, you know, kind of tried to be an action hero, got into a couple bad divorces and some tax trouble, and started doing some questionable stuff. And also, I think he's a guy that just loves to work. But yes, you're right. I think this is his firmest work in years. And as I kind of posited, there's nothing wrong with the acting.
Yeah. But what I really loved about the story, where it takes there, I think that one of the biggest problems that people are going to have with it is what you're talking about, Bo, is the second part where it posits this portion of, let's just say, the culinary world that like doesn't exist. We are assuming, but I like the idea that it thinks that it does.
I think it does.
Yeah, are we all sure about that?
I worked in the service industry, including fine dining, for decades, and no, there are not weird underground fight clubs.
We just confirmed that there's a vow of silence when you work in the service industry, and you don't talk about the underground.
And here's the thing: like my father was an executive chef, and the thing is, the fact that it posits this like really weird idea, I still don't put it past them in a lot of ways, because they're all fucking psychopaths for the most part.
Yeah.
And like it seems believable in the world that they're building, even though it's a very realistic world.
No, you're wrong.
I don't believe it. I loved it.
Right. Did your dad ever come home bruised up?
Probably.
Bloody bruised. Be like, Dad, what happened?
The mean streets of Dallas, Texas.
That scene is so jarring, so out of context, and after it's over, you're still like, what in the absolute fuck just fucking happened in this movie?
Why?
And is this movie...
Why did it happen?
Yes, is this movie a completely different movie that was sold to me in the first act, and then it never goes back to it? And you're just like, okay, so that thing was just fucking there and fucking happened. I gotta say, like, while there are definitely likable things about this movie, and there is a good movie in this movie, that is not part of the good movie.
Bobby Flay exists. Let's move on to the next to the next topic of discussion before we get to final thoughts. This film has the air and the scent of a food porn, but I didn't think any of the food was shot in an appetizing way. Am I being a jerk about that? What did you guys think?
No, he literally put his thumb in the food. There was like, like,
gross.
He makes a mushroom tartlet at the beginning, and like, it really didn't even show how he assembled it. But that was the only, like, I was like, oh wow, that's pretty hot, little mushroom tart. And then, but after that, the food was just kind of like, oh, I'm choosing wine, and here it is, and I'm not going to show you the label. And but the food's good.
Yeah,
rest assured that it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was shot too well on like on the food side, but I wasn't really paying attention to that because the scene between David Nell and Nicolas Cage where he is just going at him, but and so subdued too. It's not like the Nicolas Cage that's just like yelling at you and going full face off or anything. It's so subdued and like fantastic acting. It was, I think it's one of the best scenes I've seen so far this year by a mile. Like I wanted to go back and just watch that scene because to see David Nell's expressions like slowly start to like crack, I was like, this is fucking amazing. And God, it's one of the few movies I've seen in a long time is like, I know that everyone else is not on the same page about like liking it as much as I did, but this is one of the few times where when you watch a movie and if you've ever like tried to write them or make them in the past, this is one of the few things like, God damn it. I wish I made this. This is really good. And just for like that scene alone is incredible.
You know, Nicolas Cage was talking to all of us, not just...
Follow coffee. Your dreams. Make that pub. Do that project.
Nobody wants pubs here.
Dream it, be it.
This movie where I get the shit kicked out of me is an expression of my personal fashion choice. Yeah. No, I will say this. I miss old art house movie Nick Cage, and this was pleasant. To see if for nothing else, just to see that guy back who can be restrained and does have like a broader range of emotions than just yelling at you, man.
Yeah. Well, carry that into your final thoughts, Bo.
So yeah, like I said, I think, you know, when you're cooking a good meal, you make your mise en place, which is, you know, all of your ingredients assembled. And then it's up to the cook to, you know, make that into something great. And I think the mise en place is there. I think the mise en scene is there. But, you know, he's missing something. He forgot to put one of those things in, or maybe he put in too much of something. But yeah, like, it almost seems like this movie should only be an hour and 10 minutes. And that extraneous, like, well, I'm going to put in this really weird fucking fight scene just to, you know, carry the movement along, even though it's really not all that necessary in the scope of the narrative. So yeah, I'm like, I think this is, it's a good first effort for like, you know, a you know, guy coming up, putting stuff out. But when all is said and done, it's an assembly of some nice stuff, but it never really coheres for me. So I got to give it just a 2 slightly shaved truffles off of a very big black truffle that probably could have been shaved a little bit more.
Very good. Right.
Well, I think I've already said this, but yeah, I think this is my favorite movie of the year so far. I mean, the scene that that is going to take you out of it is this underground fight scene with chefs everywhere betting on who's going to just get in the Christ punched out of them. But the rest of it with Nicolas Cage's like more subdued acting and Alex Wolff just being there right with him and Adam Arkin being this kind of imposing figure in the background. I forget, like, he could be a really good villain every now and then. He's like in Fargo season 2 and he's just like there in the background. It's like, yeah, man, he is really menacing. But I really did feel also, we haven't talked about the pig. The pig also had an understudy. Like, I looked at all the credits, like, this is great. I love this. And I kind of loved the relationship just for, you know, how brief it was, at least the first like 10 minutes or so between Nick Cage and the pig. The pig's name was Brandy. I thought it was a great acting pig. But I really love the story and it hit. It's one of the few movies where not only do I think it's just it's really well made, and I really did like the story and just everyone in it, and the direction was great, but also just hit, like, also personally for me, just with my background with my father and everything, but it had all these great moving pieces just for it to connect with me personally. But I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 Nicolas Cage yells, because he does it once in the movie, but I don't want to give it 1 out of 10. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10.
Tessa.
Yeah, I agree that there's some things in it that make it kind of tonally weird, as far as, like, also misleading for what kind of movie this is going to be, like, genre wise. It's a little misleading, and so I could see how that could turn someone off and be like, what is this doing? I mean, Nicholas, everybody was great in it. Like they've already said, the acting was really solid. Just the different parts of it just weren't very cohesive. I enjoyed some of the more emotional beats. It's about loss, you know. I actually cried, so I mean, it got me emotionally, so it wins there. So I feel like this film definitely will make people have a discussion. So I feel like any film that can get people talking about it in a real way is succeeding. I guess I would probably give this like 7.5 out of 10 scenes where Nick Cage is bleeding and won't wash his freaking face.
Oh my
it
God.
Drove me crazy. Oh, like the whole time he's just, sir. And everybody ignores it for a good long while because he's paying with, I guess he has enough money to pay for his meal at that fancy restaurant. And they're like, oh, well, we know who you are, so we're not going to question how eccentric you are.
Tessa, there is, when he's walking through that neighborhood, I'm just like, hey, I know Portland is super cool and groovy, but so is Austin. And if you walked around like that in, you know, a suburban neighborhood, people will call the police upon you.
Next door would be lighting up. Just light it up.
Just say it. Just say it.
And, like, he talks to some little kid for, like, a split second about, like, a persimmon tree or some shit. And I'm like, where is this kid's parents that this, like, old man covered in blood just wanders into their backyard and the back door to their houses? Whatever. Anyways.
The kid wasn't taught Stranger Danger at all.
No. Not at all.
No. In Portland, apparently, they're just like, if a stranger approaches you, give him a bottle of water and maybe tell him where you can get some toothpaste and sanitary supplies.
Yeah. Oh, your kid is so wise. Yeah, he picks up a lot from homeless, beat up philosophers.
Murder junkies.
Yes. I love the "Where's my animal?" genre from
Where are
Tony
my dragons?
Yeah. Tony Jaa made like 6 movies about looking for his elephant. Bart Simpson lost his elephant. His name was Stampy. He loved
my him. My only friend is a giraffe. Where could he be?
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher lost his car. Is it a van? So this is a fun genre, and I thought that's what the majority of this would be about, like Nicolas Cage loses his pig and gets angry. And to your point, Tessa,
God damn it, Bradley.
It wasn't that at all. He does lose his pig and he loves his pig. But that's not what this is about. And what it turned out to be about, I'm leaning more towards right. That blew my freaking mind in the third act when we started getting huge reveals. I agree with what all of you are saying. The only negative for me is, I live in a house of chefs. I live in a house of chefs that are generational. And it really increases my waistline around birthday and holidays. But I certainly love the life. And the food in this is some of the most intriguing and fantastic food ever, as they talk about it. But the way it's presented, I'm just like, huh. Yeah, that's something. It's very boring.
Hey, so they set a pine cone on fire and captured the smoke, Bradley. I think you have to give them credit for that.
That should have been filmed magically, not like, and it's magic, Brad, accepted.
Look.
I like to.
Glass filled with smoke.
Yeah. 1,000-foot journey, is that movie? Chef, Jon Favreau's chef. Food can look tremendous on film. This didn't. And I guess my expectations were a little high there, especially with how philosophically magical Nicolas Cage's advice was. So that's my only critique. The rest of it, it's only 90 minutes. Even the weird stuff, I was like, well, Nicolas Cage is right there, so I'm not like completely blindsided by the absurdity of the scene.
Bo just wanted Nicolas Cage to go full like foodie Karen. sorry to interrupt, Bradley.
I absolutely did.
So my final rating, I'm going to give this 8 little pigs that went wee, 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 wee all the way to the cinema. Fuck you, COVID. Out of 10.
Yes.
Anybody got any feud humor to end on?
Oh, God.
Oh, did we bring up the fact that the Tessa's makeup was because throughout this whole movie, he has got the shit beaten out of him and never really, that's never really explained why he decides to keep looking like that.
Yeah.
When you live life, you get bruises.
I say we should truffle shuffle off the mortal coil.
So that scene where Denethor is eating tomatoes in Return of the King, like there's this like blood red trickle that comes down that looks in no way like tomato juice. But yeah, like picture that trickle, and that's like pretty much Cage's face through this whole thing.
Denethor was always behind on kingdom politics. He really should have catch up.
Oh, God. All right, I'm done.